And a big welcome back to the Endurance Hour podcast. This is episode 249. Alongside Wendy Mader, I'm Dave Erickson. Today we are focusing on one topic, one question. And this comes from Kathy, and she writes, what is the longest you should run while training for an Ironman? And follows up with, what are your thoughts about running on road versus treadmill? Almost all of her training runs have been done inside, except for the long runs on the weekends. She finds it easier to keep the pace on the treadmill. So let's kick it off with your longest run training for an Ironman, Wendy.
Good question, Kathy. Thanks for asking. Again, the general answer is going to be 18 to 20 miles. I say that's the general answer because it will vary based on the experience of the athlete training for an Ironman. When I trained for my first Ironman, my longest run was 16 miles and I got injured. And that was really the main reason I didn't run longer. I actually got injured about 8 weeks out, so I didn't run for 8 weeks. And I never done a marathon. And so my longest run of my life was 16 miles training for my first Ironman. And it ended up, the marathon was the best part of the whole race. I didn't stop except to walk through some aid stations, and I did not really hit the wall like most marathons tell you you're going to hit the wall at mile 20. And this was my first Ironman, first marathon. So it really does depend on the background of the athlete. But generally, I'm going to say 18 to 20 miles, and how long that takes you could take some athletes 2.5 hours. It could take other athletes 3.5 hours. I think there's there's going to be an Ironman marathon is so different than just a normal marathon. So again, I just always have to default to the experience of the athlete, if they have current marathon experience or not.
This is kind of funny. This comes to mind that you rarely hear an Ironman athlete complain about their marathon after the Ironman, whereas you hear a lot about the marathon runners complaining about how hard that marathon was.
Right.
Not saying that the marathon is easier, but it seems easier in an Ironman than it does in a full out marathon. Isn't that strange?
It is strange. I think when you approach a marathon, you're approaching it as I'm only doing a marathon, and you're going to go at a higher intensity. And it's the intensity that will delay your recovery. And so an Ironman marathon, there's so many more variables involved in running a marathon after biking 112 miles, including nutrition and hydration. And, you just seem to have more walking breaks, and your attitude is different running an Ironman marathon compared to just a marathon.
And I've only done half marathons. I haven't done a full, a standalone, what do you call it, an open marathon before, which maybe I should, so I can speak about this. But I've never really, even after a half marathon, I've been more sore in my hips and my knees, and just more wrecked versus a half Ironman,
I totally get that. I did 5 Ironmans before my first marathon, and I never really hit the wall in the sense of the word bonking or hitting the wall during my Ironman. But when I did my first marathon, a little bit was naiveness. A little bit was, I really didn't know how to train. I had a goal in mind, and really I showed up to that marathon, and I just, all of a sudden I saw these people with signs. They were pacers, and I was behind the 320. So I'm like, oh, why not? Let's just go out with them. who knows what I can do. I've done 5 Ironman marathons. So I started out with this 320 pace group, and I was on pace till about mile 18. And then I hit the wall hard. My legs were the most sore ever after my very first Ironman marathon, but my legs during that marathon were more sore than Ironman's number 2 through 5.
Yeah,
because I just hit the wall, and I was depleted. It's that depletion that made me so sore and delayed my recovery. Huh.
I wonder if it has something to do with, well, you swam for an hour. Let's go for a half marathon, a half Ironman versus a half marathon. You've already warmed up for a good 40 minutes in the pool, in the water. You've biked for 3 hours or so, and so other parts of your body are lubricated in preparation for that run. So you kind of, I don't know, maybe you've pre-warmed up your body for that more leisurely attempt at a half marathon versus the half marathon. And I guess it keeps on going back to the intensity of a straight out running event where the rest of your body has not been taxed in a certain way. Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah. And to follow up again with the, how long should you run before, should you run? There's so much involved in how race day is going to pan out. And a lot of that involves your build, what your, how much training volume and how much intensity you're doing before your taper. And like I said, my first Ironman, my longest run of my life was 16 miles. Hmm. And the marathon was great. I mean, I could not walk the next day, but as far as running the marathon, I was fine. And then I've had marathons, you know, my 10th, 11th, 12th Ironman, where I've just struggled like I've never struggled before. And so you don't want to, that's not the only thing that you're training for. You're not just training for the Ironman, you're training on the bike, and how fit you are on the bike is going to carry over into how strong you run that marathon off the bike. So you don't just want to look at your long run. You want to look at your bike fitness and your long rides and how efficient you are riding a bike, because that's going to affect your Ironman marathon more than anything else.
I'm assuming a lot of us who are listening know this podcast and know triathlon and maybe even know running. You never do the full distance before. The full distance kind of takes the fun out of it. Secondly, the recovery, that might be an answer to someone who might be newer to the show and wondering about these running these full distances, or at least a lot, you know, 22 miles, 24 miles before your marathon, or for the marathon portion of the Ironman. Is the recovery aspect is going to take a lot longer to recover these longer miles you put in. So you say 18, 20, great, maybe slow it down there. So I don't know the point of going 24, because you're taxing your body pretty hard. I mean, you only have so many miles in your body before it breaks down.
Right. You're not only taxing your body with running, but you're taxing your body with cycling and swimming. And I just want to stress the importance of your cycling fitness training for an Ironman carries over into the Ironman marathon than anything else, in my opinion, with my experience.
All right. A couple more. We can touch on these about your thoughts, you know, running on the road versus treadmill. And this person does a lot of their longer runs. Looks like, say, all my training runs are done inside, long runs on the outside on the weekend. So 2 cents on road versus treadmill.
So treadmills and road, different surface, different terrain. I think the treadmills are soft, and I used to be a treadmill runner and I'm not an outside runner. And that's just changed recently. I've been doing the sport for 26 years. And just over the last two or three, 4 years, treadmills now hurt my body. They hurt my knees. They hurt my hips. I'm not a treadmill runner anymore. I prefer to run outside. But I think if you had the choice between a treadmill or concrete, I think the treadmill's better. Obviously, if you have the choice between a dirt trail or some grass, that's even better. Mm-hmm. So you want to think about surface, why you're running on the treadmill versus why you're running on the road. If you're running on the treadmill because it's dark, you're either doing it very early in the morning or very late at night, the treadmill's better than running in the dark, depending on where you live. I think that's okay. I just want to point out, if you're going to be training for like something like a marathon or a half marathon on the road, you need to do some long runs on the road so your body gets adjusted to running on the harder surface, which is the road. And I also just want to point out, your gait and your stride rate is going to be different on the treadmill than it will be on the road. And I also know definitely a 10-minute mile on the treadmill is different than a 10-mile on the road. So if you think you're running, you know, 8 miles an hour on the treadmill, most likely you're not going to be doing that outside at that same effort. So there is a way to actually, I just read this a week or so ago, a way to calibrate a treadmill. I have no idea. I can't tell you how to do it. All I can say is Google how to calibrate a treadmill, and you can hopefully find that calibration that's going to mimic really the speed that you would be running outside. So I think most people tend to run on the treadmill Monday through Friday, and then they get outside on the weekends. I think it's good to do both. I think it's good to do both, but mm-hmm. It just depends on your reason why you're doing it.
And I'm sure weather can be a factor on whether you go outside or inside. Mm-hmm. Both can be quick, cheaper to run outside. One thing I think about by running outside is working with gravity and stabilizing parts of your body. You're working different stabilizers around your joints, because the terrain's not always going to be as smooth as a treadmill. So your body's having to adjust to curbs, to rocks, to cracks in the road, to elevation gains that are, you know, spontaneous. You don't know about those things. So your heart rate, you can adjust to that. And yeah, naturally it's going to be easier to keep pace on a treadmill because it's controlled. Whereas outdoors, you never know, with these little rises and falls and, you know, inclines and hills, and heart rate's going to be a little bit different. So a combination of both, but I probably say, I like what you said, that concrete's going to be harder on your joints. If you can find trails or maybe the local high school track where they have that softer surface, hit that if you can. That's probably your best route.
Yeah, and that all goes back to the reason you're running indoors versus outdoors. I will say, you know, if it's due to weather or light versus dark time of day, it's important as you approach that build phase and as you get within that 6 to 8 weeks out from your event, if you're training for an event, get outside. You know, simulate the courses that you're going to be racing on, simulate the terrain that you're going to be racing on, and that's best done outside unless you're doing an indoor treadmill event.
I know we're talking about running, but because you mentioned about 6 to 8 weeks before an event, when it comes to cycling, outdoors as much as possible, my opinion, because you can't recreate outdoors on an indoor bike unless you have some sort of simulated path or plan. Mm-hmm. Let's say, like, is it the CompuTrainer that you can plug in maybe some race courses that say, okay, here's the elevation gain, everything, the entire course is in your computer, so it'll change with the course, but not everyone can afford that. But the sooner you can get out on outside with your bike, the better, versus the trainer. I learned that last year. It's a big difference when you make that transition after the winter on the road outside of the bike.
Yeah, I mean, just the, you know, bike handling skills is different outside. Wind, managing, you know, your effort in the wind. But downhills, you cannot ride downhill indoors. You cannot run downhill indoors.
Yeah.
So just that terrain and the hills, you can only do that outside. So that's important.
Kathy, thank you so much for that question. If you have a question for us, you can send it to us via email, endurancehour@gmail.com. Sounds pretty straightforward. You can also leave it via voicemail, speakpipe.com/endurancehour. We can hear from you. You can do that from your phone or your desktop. You got 90 seconds to record anything you want, and we'll play that on the show and let people know what you're thinking and probably answer some questions for other people. You can find this episode on endurancehour.com/episode249, as well as iTunes, of course. And that'll wrap it up for this episode. For Wendy Mader, I'm Dave Erickson. Thanks for listening. Have a great week of training, racing, or recovery. We'll see you next time. Adios.
Adios.
Today's question is brought to you by How to Swim Faster in 30 Days, a freestyle guide to dropping time in the pool or open water. This multimedia training plan includes 42 instructional swim lesson videos and demonstrations above and below the water, plus a detailed 30-day calendar designed to help you swim faster and more efficiently than ever before.